Well, tonight we're going to, we've been doing a series since we started live. I did Big Book Goals and some of the handouts from the Joe and Charlie on what we're really trying to do. And I did a meeting on the Archway to Freedom, Building a Path to Freedom, which is in the back of this handout, I think, as well, and how we build this arch through which we step a free man. And the arch is really where I go from my world, where I played God, separated, irritable, restless, and discontent, full of anger, fear, shame, guilt, and harmful actions. And I decided on February 8th, 2002, I didn't want to live there anymore. I was moving out of that world. Unfortunately, still had to live in my house and the people in it, but I was going to move out of that world. And I really did. I wanted to. I was done. And so I made this chart of the how we move it through the Arch of Freedom to the world of the Spirit. And then I wrote these thoughts, which really are basically how I visualize that. We covered step one last week. Total surrender. We are surrendered. Quicksand surround us. When we see the truth of our situation. Does anybody remember the moment when they saw the truth that they couldn't live like that anymore? Chris, you remember it? It was fun. You don't have to talk. We're recording this. I was just, that was a, what's that kind of question?
Rhetorical question.
Yeah. So we want to remember it. We want to remember that moment of defeat. Father Leo in that famous talk says, if we don't remember it, we'll repeat it. And we want to keep it alive. And so I wrote that now we're in thought number 75. I titled it Recovery from Alcoholism. I wrote that the complete surrender that I discussed is the beginning of moving out of my self-centered world seeking God and His direction for my life. It's the beginning of turning myself away from me to God. And we talked about that prayer. God, I can't manage myself. Manage me because I can't manage myself, that the Oxford group had. So in part one, I looked at my world of alcoholism and how living in that world did not work. Now, if you think it's still going to work for you, then you're going to drink again because you won't take any action. If you still think that you have some plan in your head that's going to work, it might work, but if it hasn't worked, all we suggest is you try AA's plan. That's all AA says. You don't have to try AA's plan. You might have a better way. That's fine. We don't have the only way. And so in this last part, I looked at the world of my alcoholism and how living in that world didn't work. And this is really a brief overview of how the steps gave me recover from alcoholism. A design for living, I call it, that works, and a power to live. And I was completely defeated, and I hit bottom. I was brought to a place where I was willing to go to any length to change. And when I look back, it says we had the desperation of a drowning man. What was a flimsy reed became the hand of God. And I can see that now. I mean, I'm studying scripture now, about 20 years later, and 20 years ago, I was just—I had no hope, no plan. But I knew AA had a plan, so I came to AA. And so it brought my defeat brought me to the realization that I had to look outside of myself for direction. My way could never work. Why can my way never work? Because it's my way. And if you have a way that'll work, write a book. You know, there's nothing wrong. I'm not being silly. I mean, but it made me willing to move out of the world I created into a different world where I was not in charge. So step one for me is summarized in one word, powerless. Anybody relate to that? I had no power over alcohol and no power to manage my life successfully. So I needed a new plan. And I think a famous speaker we quote said, when you run out of plans, come here. And all AA says is, when you've run out of plans, try ours. And the one in the book. And so we want to make sure people understand that there is a plan and it's in the book when they come to AA. And the other thing is, this is very subtle, the plan only works if you do it.
What?
Yeah, it's not a, well, let's talk about it plan. Now, so I became willing to change, and my willingness led to belief that God could relieve my powerlessness and give me a power to live. Pretty simple. I believed because I saw it worked in others. I saw it. I could see it. I still know people that I met when I first came in. And then there were people who helped me a lot who have died, but they really helped me a lot. I can never repay how much they helped me. And we see it work in others, and that's what it says, right? Page 47 asked me, do I now believe or am I willing to believe that there's a power greater than myself? I answered yes, and the big book says that I'm on my way, right? And it says that that's the cornerstone upon which a wonderfully effective spiritual structure is being built. I'm building an arch through which I'm going to walk a free man. Now, there's a key word there, walk through. Do it. And building the arch and looking at it won't do me any good. I have to walk through it, and actually when you build it, you're walking. So you're, the process of building, you're with God and you're moving forward, even though it may not make sense when you talk in those terms. And it takes me where? To the world of the spirit. And that's at this circle here, where God's the director. And that's where I want to go. If you look at the chart, it says you'll see that by taking steps 1 and 2, I've begun to move outside of this world I created. And I think it's Henry Thibault when we read in second step proposition exercise that for a narcissistic personality disorder like we have, unfortunately, but we have a treatment for it. And for us to turn away from ourselves to God completely is really a major thing for us, to really give up on ourselves. And that's why it has to be complete defeat. We had that lady one night on a Sunday night that was getting powerless. She was working up to 100%. And 1 week she told me she was 80. The next week she was 95. And I said, listen, it's just like if you had cancer and you came to me, I said, I'm going to leave 5% of your cancer there. Don't worry about it. You're going to die. And so that's a good analogy, isn't it? We have to give up. We have to let go. We can't hold on to any of the cancer that's killing us. I like that. Moving toward the real world where God is the center. Now, when I came here, I didn't realize that I was living in a world that I created that was completely insane. Because all everything that I thought when I came here were true. All my resentments were true, right? And all my fears were true. And they were all the fault of the people that I was angry at. And anybody take bad actions before they came here? They were always justified. I never did a harm to anyone that I didn't I think it was justified in a sick way, but it was so ill. I was so ill. Anybody see that now? We were so ill. But I didn't know that when I came in. And that's why it takes time, but I like to get people into that 4-step quickly so they can start putting things on paper and see the truth. And it starts to set you free. Because the person that did those things is not the person God created. That was me. And if God, remember it says, our troubles are of our own making. And Joe and Charlie said that's the greatest promise in the big book. Because if they're of my own making, I can change, but I can't change other people. Anybody trying to change anybody in your life? Stop. It doesn't work. I tried this morning. It didn't work. Now, I know what I need to do. I can figure it out. Blah, 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 blah. Just slunk away. I said, why did I say anything, right? And so I try to keep my, from giving advice and directing, worry about myself. But she is learning because she told mother-in-law, who's complaining and driving us crazy in the assisted living, that she's not gonna like the new place. So you know what my wife told her? Change your mind. You get it? Change your mind. And I and my daughter heard me tell her that, and then the kids tell my daughter all the time, change your mind, Mom. Just change your mind. And you know, it really works, right? Because we're the only people who can change. We're having fun here tonight for those listening to the podcast. So step three is where I make a decision to stop playing God. And I didn't realize I was playing God. I had a delusion that I could, if I could manage the world, everything would go okay. Anybody try that? It was exhausting, wasn't it? I mean, when you think about it, it was so insane that I would only be happy if they would do what I wanted. And now I can be happy and they can do whatever they want. Isn't that freedom? And so I needed a new director, father, employer, and if I stay close to him and do his work well, he provides everything I need. And that's the contract we write in our books, right? My contract with God, God's going to give me everything I need. My job is to stay close to him, play the role he assigns, and stay close to him and do his work. And he's going to give me everything I need. And then there's a bonus. I got this from Dr. Paul. He gave a talk years ago. And he said, and there's a bonus to this. God gets all the worry. Worry is God's job. Think about it. So whenever I'm worrying, I'm doing God's job. It's so silly because the only reason I worry is because I'm playing God. And I really like to remember that. It's so silly. So this decision that I make is really deciding to step out of my world. But there's a warning. If I don't follow the action steps 1 to 3 with steps 4 through 9, I'm going to go back in that world. Nothing's going to change. 1, 2, 3, drink, right? The AA walks. You know, you could talk about it. You could talk about your first 3 steps. But until you start doing something, the decision, it says, is vital and crucial. But it would have no permanent effect unless what? Next or at once followed by facing and being rid of the things that are blocking us. That's pretty clear, isn't it? And it's true. If you ask most people why they drink again, they're not working the steps. And you don't do like steps 5 and then 8. No, you just keep going. There has to be a momentum here. So that's why the big book says that decision step 3 is vital and crucial. Isn't it amazing? That's what I wrote. What does that mean? It means if I don't start my personal house cleaning immediately, and I'm cleaning my mind of all the crap in it, all my resentment, fear, and shame, and guilt, God can't work in that mind. And I still like that analogy. I know where you're listening all over. They listen all over the country and world. You all have gas stations where they have those shops, right? What do we call them here? Quick shops? Yeah, we have quick shops. And they used to be 7-Elevens. And you have all that merchandise that's really good to eat that, you know, unfortunately, I'm not supposed to eat all the candy and the popcorn and all the chips and all that crap. That's in the store, and that's all my resentments. And then all the stuff in the coolers is all my fear. And then Joe and Charlie says, they always have a little business office, and that's my shame and guilt. Now, who can run that store if it's full of that? You see, and it's like you can't put your car in the garage if it's full. And so God can't work if my mind's blocked. I got to get rid of all that. And I have to see that it's not true. Everything I put in that store, I put there, and it wasn't true. And it was killing me, and I couldn't see it. So that's why it says we have to start on a vigorous course of action, a personal house cleaning, which none of us had ever done. And I'm cleaning my mind of all the crap. That's all step 4 is. And then step 10 is doing it every day and practicing this card, the world of this God's character versus my character all day long, right? Jim and I have been talking about that. It's not complicated, and it's hard to do it first because you don't know how to do it. We've never done it. We practice our way, and we have to try a different way. So we have to pause, and we need help, and we need to talk to someone, and And we have to have somebody that you can call when you have crap going on. So if you don't do that, you're living sober. If you live sober without the steps and without God, you just have the diseases untreated. It's just waiting. Alcohol is just waiting. Your emotional barometer, we had that. Your emotions build up to a certain point where you drink. Does anybody know how much your emotions have to build up to drink? Because that's what it means at certain times. Like, I'm going to watch, so I know when my emotions are building up to that certain time, so I won't drink, right? But that's not what it says. It says that those emotions are going to build up, and you're going to drink, and you won't recall the humiliation, defeat of even a moment ago. You can't even bring it into conscious contact. And so you're blocked, and that's why we do keep doing these things that are insane. So how long can you live self-centered and not drink? That's the question. And why would you want to be? Why would you want to live miserable? And some famous speaker says, if you're miserable, you might as well drink. You know, but AA has a way where you can live happy, joyous, and free, right? You can have peace and serenity. Doesn't mean everything's perfect, but you can live. And you can live and you can survive your son dying and you don't have to drink. And you can survive people driving you crazy and not have to drink. And you can desire, you can have people not following the script you gave them. Have you ever done that, given people a script and they don't follow it? It's just so, God, can't they read? You know, and yet you don't have to drink over it because you see how silly you are. I like to laugh at myself now. I like to see how silly I am. I think, I like to make fun of myself because I really am silly. And I can see it now. Now, before I came here, it was serious. I believed it all, and I was a mess. And so that's the AA waltz, 1, 2, 3, drink. So step 3 is the keystone of the arch to freedom. So steps 1 to 3 give the foundation, cornerstone, and keystone of the arch. But it needs the actions of 4 through 9 to get into that world. And we read these promises in Topeka, the 9-step promises, and everybody loves them, and they're usually read off a card, so the new people don't even understand they're in the book. And a lot of our meetings, they read how it works off a card. So people think, well, how it works, it's a card. You buy these cards from AA, and they send us these 5 cards, and we read the tradition and how it works. I'm probably pissing somebody off who's listening to me. But the 9-step promises, I really think, are the world of the spirit promises. Because it says we have now entered the world of the spirit. God is doing for us what we cannot do ourselves.
Don't forget the chanting.
We are amazed before we're halfway through. And it says if we're painstaking about this, they will happen, right? Doesn't it say that? These will come true. And so then it says we're at step 10, which means we're entering the world of the spirit. We're with God. So you get serenity and peace when you're with God. You lose fear of people when you're with God. You lose financial security when you're with God. You lose your selfishness and when you're with God. You don't regret the past with God. You see how it can help others. All the promises, self-seeking just slips away when you're with God. And so they're the promises of the relationship with God, which we talked about before the meeting in Ann Smith's journal. The essential elements of the Oxford group, which was the foundation of our AA 12-step concepts, was the relationship with God. Not belief in God, but a relationship. So I have to establish a relationship with God. We do it through inventory and prayer and meditation. But we have to get there. We have to unblock ourselves. And 6 and 7 is where we start to practice a different way. We're unblocking all day long. And that's incorporated in step 10. And 8 and 9 is where you're willing to make amends to anybody you've harmed. Now, how can that make your life better? Because if you're not afraid of anybody walking through the door here, you don't have fear of people. If you're willing to make amends to anybody who comes through that door, you know that. There's not anybody you can think of that you wouldn't want to make amends to. You're not willing to, then you're free. But if they're people you've harmed and you're afraid to see, then they have power over you. So that's why 8 and 9 is so powerful. Now, sometimes you can't make the amends because it would harm them or others worse. But it's so freeing. And that's how you get free of the bondage of self. You're not in bondage to your thinking, your fears, your resentments, your shame and guilt. It's gone. You're not in bondage. Now, how do you get into bondage of self? Who puts you there? We do. So we have to fight that all day long. That's all scripture, fighting the flesh and the spirit. They're in battle. And some days we're going to lose. Some days we're not going to do as well as we should. But we have a power now with the spirit. We're in the world of the spirit. We have a power that we can practice and live a different way. And I didn't have that power when I came in here. So I wrote, no action, you're still blocked, you're still powerless, you're still in a hopeless state of mind and body. So you could say to somebody, well, you don't want to make a decision, you want to do the fourth step, fine. How's your hopeless state of mind and body doing? Yeah. I mean, that's basically what they're telling you. And when we did the fourth step and we see how simple it is, Jim, we're doing it, it's pretty simple, isn't it? It really is, and it's fun. I think it's fun doing a fourth step with somebody. I see myself, and you can see how silly some of these things are and how distorted our thinking was. I mean, of course, they're serious things, and we did bad things, but we learn not to take ourselves so seriously. We learn that, you know, we're human beings, we're all imperfect, we all make mistakes, and, you know. Before I came in here, I thought everything I did was on CNN and the whole world could see it, you know, and oh God, here he goes. But you know what? Most people don't care. And, you know, we're not that important, right? I mean, that was a real shock to me, too. I always thought I was the center of the universe, and when I came here, I realized I'm just not that important, you know, and I can't take myself too seriously. The only important thing now in my life today is, am I serving God and doing his will or not? And how well am I doing that? So in thought number 76, I looked at how living self-centered and separated from God could never be manageable. I would, thought 74, we're now on 76, I made a mistake. So I would seek alcohol to change how I saw the world. Now I seek God. And so I was completely defeated. I was defeated by my self-sufficiency. And in the previous thought we just covered, I admitted I had no power to live successfully, keep from drinking. And then I looked at how steps 1 through 3 made me start to move outside this world. And I was admitting, believing, and deciding, but it won't change me. I have to take the action. So I want to look how we follow through in the third step, decision in the world of spirit. So I'm building an arch through which I will walk a free man. And I'm going to summarize these steps, and I did it pretty quickly. I just sat down and wrote these thoughts just one day. I didn't spend days formulating. I just sat there and said, God, how am I going to talk about this? So I have to remove the things that are blocking me from the real world where God is the center. And I'm blocked by living on self-will. And when I live on self-will, what are the wrongs that we get? You guys know resentment, fear, and harms, shame and guilt from harming others, right? So that's what we inventory these three areas. We learn how to be free of anger, we say the four prayers, right, whenever we're angry. We look at people a different way. How do we get free of fear? We realize we're playing God, and we're playing God, and that we're not trusting him, and we say, God, remove my fear, and direct my attention to how I should be. How should I be? Be loving, patient, tolerant, kind, considerate, compassionate, right? And if I be that way, then I'll do that way. And how do I get free of shame and guilt? I'm willing to make amends. I see the people that I was resentful at and see them differently. And I see how I harm people and the reason I harmed them was because I had the wrong manager. I was a bad person, but I was a bad person that I created. I mean, I didn't do horrible things and kill people and all that, but, you know, I was selfish and I used manipulated people. Anybody do that? And use people and was dishonest. Anybody else do that? Yeah. All right. So I learned how to be free of that. Isn't that great? And I could see how the character defects cause the wrongs. My character, my selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, fear, intolerance, judgment, impatience, lust, greed, it's all on that card. And step 4 and 5 revealed the truth. And I don't want to live on lies anymore that I tell myself when I see the world through self-centered glasses. So if I don't like something that's going on today, I just have to change my glasses. It's pretty simple. And that's what a new pair of glasses is all about, those famous talks, is that we get a new pair of glasses in AA. The old pair didn't work. And we get a new pair of glasses, we see things differently. And I see how my self-centered personality is characterized by character defects that dominated my life and actions. And the results were the anger, fear, and the harmful actions. So I'm willing to have God remove all of them. And then step 7, I humbly ask God to remove them, and I ask to remove them all the time. 6 and 7 is not a step you do one day with your sponsor, and then you say, well, I did 6 and 7. You have to practice. How do you know when you're not doing 6 and 7? You don't feel good. You're disturbed. You don't like the way the people are driving. You don't like the way the people are at work, at house, in the grocery store, right? Work, right? Or you don't like things on TV, or you don't like this or that. You're disturbed. And so you get undisturbed by saying, God, remove my character defect at this moment and help me be you, be your character. And then you just stop and you pause, right? And you pause and you practice that all the time. So the problem I wrote is you have to do these steps constantly. You don't get to a point where you don't need to do it. Anybody here ever have a day where they weren't self-centered for 5 seconds? It's like this famous teacher of the scripture that I like. He says, the only requirement for membership is you be a sitter. And then he says that everybody in this church doesn't go 5 minutes without sitting. That made me feel pretty good, because we all think of ourselves all the time. And remember, we're supposed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. If we're thinking of ourselves, we're not loving Him. And so we recognize that. That's what makes us human. But we now have a power in our life so we can change. And I wrote, I'd like to say, I am what I practice. If my day is good today, it's because I'm practicing God's character, not because I did good. And if my day is bad, it's because I'm practicing Michael's character. And the other area I need to address to complete the arch of freedom is to remove my shame and guilt and fear those I've harmed. This is the purpose of steps 8 and 9. I become willing to make amends to all I've harmed. And you make that when you do step 4. So I do 6 columns now. The 4th column is what was my mistakes. The 5th column is my character defects. And the 6th is did I harm them and how did I harm them. So it's all there. And then when I see how I can harm them, it's very easy to forgive them. And they say the 4 prayers. So you change the way these people lose power over you. You're set free. I'm the one who gave them power over me. And you want to be willing to make amends to all the people you've harmed. And then you may forget. And one day you can remember somebody else you harmed. You say, wow, why'd I do that? And I would be willing to make amends. And I could see why I did it, because I was practicing my self-centered character. You know, I could see things I did 40 years ago, 50 years ago. If you want to do a thorough 4-step, retire. Because then, you know, you're not working and you have time, and these memories will randomly come back. You say, wow. And then you get to work with a lot of people, and they tell you their stuff, and you can see your stuff. And it doesn't make you feel bad. You just see how you would have done differently, and you're not that way anymore. It's very free. And it helps you try not to do it again. So I'm free of my anger through the prayers on 6667, the 4 prayers that I've gone through, freedom from anger. So if you're not listening to podcasts, you're not familiar, go to step 4 on the site, podcast, Resentment Inventory, Freedom from Anger. And I'm free of anger, I'm willing to make restitution. I've seen my mistakes, I've written them out. And then I can see how I've harmed them. And you have to see how you harm them to know how to make amends. Because sometimes you've harmed them in your mind, and you've thought badly of them and given them power over you, but you haven't heard them, so you don't want to go up to somebody you work with and say, you know, I've hated you for years, but I just wanted you to know that I don't hate you anymore. I mean, I don't think that's really how the step was meant to be, you know. And but, you know, but people will do that, and that's why you have to do it with the sponsor, and you have to think it out. And a lot of people want to make amends right away to people before they've worked the steps, and they can make it worse. So I think do 1 through 7 before you do 8 and 9. I know that's complicated for alcoholics, but there's a number. Because I still remember Brian. You guys all love Brian, but I met him, and he had just gotten out of treatment. He had this card, and he had written out how he had done the steps, and he was on 8 and 9. He had checked them off. He showed me this index card. It was right out 2100 Club. And then he's one of our best sponsors and helped a lot of people. He's 10 years sober now. But he had to go through a lot before he really started to work the steps. And so you can't rush 8 and 9. They have to come, and you have to be very patient. And God will give you the right time. I still remember I went to this medical meeting in Chicago, and I sat down. I took one of the last seats, and it was next to a guy who had done some things that had harmed me, but really helped me a lot. And he looked kind of afraid when he saw me. But I hadn't seen him in 20-some years. And I said, Dave, I'm so glad to see you. You helped me so much. And then I hugged him, and it was great. Who would have known that morning that he was going to be there? You know, there were only 200 people. And he didn't live near me. And he was a really good person. And we talked about our kids and things like that. You never know if you're willing when it's, and don't make it your time, make it God's time. Be very careful. Make sure you're making your amends on God's time and your motives are not selfish. That your motives aren't for you to feel better. Make sure that your motives are to make amends, reparation. And then in step 9, I begin the process of amends. But make sure I have prayer and discussion with another person before, so I don't want to do any more harm. So now I'm in the world of the Spirit, and then we read those promises. And they'll only come true when I've completed the Arch of Freedom. So I think I'll end with the promises, which I'll read. Is that okay? On page 83. See if alcohol didn't do this for you, and then if God is doing it. It says, I'm going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. Now, when I drank, I knew that, didn't I? Drugs or alcohol do that, won't you? But I know it now with God, right? And I don't regret the past or wish to shut the door on it. And it says, I will comprehend, I will understand the word serenity. And you know what that means to me? I'm okay. I feel okay. Did anybody have that? You feel okay? Is that great? I think the best you can feel in AA is just okay. You're just okay. And I would tell my wife all the time, I'm okay. She goes, great, honey. You know, God bless her. But it's great to just feel okay. Because that's all I wanted, and I know peace. And I could see how my experience can help others. And I don't feel useless, and I don't have self-pity. It just disappears. You see, these things just happen. I think the best talk on this is still Sandy Beach's, right, Grady? Where he talks about these things just happen. They just, where are you when you lose interest in yourself? Where are you? You know, where are you when you know peace? It just happens. It just happens. It's an experience. And self-seeking slips away. My whole attitude and outlook could change. Well, when did that happen? Fear of people and economic security. Look at the words, slip away, disappear, leave me, no. And I intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle me. And I suddenly realize, and that's you can suddenly realize a lot of times. Each day I can suddenly realize that God's doing for me what I could not do for myself. When I turn away from my fear, and I say, well, that's not true. to stay in the now. That's God doing for me what I cannot do for myself. And it says, are these extravagant? They will be filled among us, but they always materialize if you work for them. And if you work for them, it says then, we're in step 10, and we have entered the world of their spirit. So I'm going to finish up next time. I talk too long. I'm sorry. I'll finish up with the 10, 11, and 12 next week, on Saturday. Is that okay? Bring your hand out if you can. Thank you for those listening. I hope it was helpful. God bless everyone.